Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
I guess that's right. Bulldog is not here today, sadly. Thanks to Paramount Plus for allowing us to talk about sports together. Glad to know that this would not be possible without, you know, them. Actually, so I do this a lot now. This is probably bad. If anybody wants to call a meeting here and tell me it's bad, I would have to go to it. But a lot, sort of the bit is, has the show ever sounded older? And I'll keep this short because I do want to, you know, do I need to say it? Hopefully you would expect this from me. Talk about the Bills and their game against Atlanta, who they've never before played. So that'll be cool. The thing was, so I'm now in the habit, and it might be a bad one, of listening to talk. So it could be sports, it could be a, you know, different podcast, whatever it is I'm feeling. It's got to be one that I have already heard or don't need to be paying too close attention to, because the point is to fall asleep. I'm doing this now pretty much most nights. I'm going to bed too late, and I'm turning on something. I'm turning on somebody talking, and hopefully it's the kind of thing, and it usually is. If I do it right, by the way, I should put the timer on so that I don't wake up 3-4 hours later and it's still going. You know, you probably don't want that. But one podcast or stream I recently found, it's a podcast, I guess, is just like old sporting events, just like I like to watch when I'm sleeping on the couch for whatever reason. I'd be putting on, I still do this once in a while, it's just not as often, which is good. Put on YouTube and put some old game on. And the announcers are pretty much everything. The voice is everything. I already know who won. It's a game from the 80s or something. Like I don't need to pay attention to it. I just like how it sounds. And so there's this one podcast of these old radio broadcasts. And I ended up last night on one an NFL game between the Patriots and the Houston Oilers. 1978. I'm like, okay, so this will do because I'm going to fall asleep and I can, if I care, look up who won the game. And I wake up at a certain point and Gino Cappelletti, who was a great Patriots player back in the AFL, kind of an icon in New England, I would say, Patriots legend, is one of the announcers for this game, and it's halftime. And I just happened to be awake for it. And he's talking about, you know, what happened in the first half. The Patriots had a 23-0 lead in this game. They would lose. How about that? I kind of thought, now I started to care about this game as it got to be like 4:30 in the morning. Really healthy stuff. And I started to care about it and thought, like, there's no way they lose this game. It's 47 years ago. right? Like, there's no way they lose this game. I felt like I would know about it had they lost the game. But anyway, they do. That's not the point. The point is, so here's Gino Cappelletti at halftime. How do we do it? We host the Bills broadcast. Like, how do we do it? You know, we have Nate, or we have Sal, or we have Joe, or somebody. Like, they come in and they read the scores and they have a conversation about the first half, and there's a bunch of commercials, and then halftime is pretty short. They go to the third. It's probably shorter now than it used to be. And they go on to the third quarter. This guy, 1978, did the Bills do this? Did everybody do this? He's like, okay, the score is 23-7. Here are some stats, and now we're going to take calls. He's taking calls at halftime of the game, which, again, I wonder, like, was that common or was that unique? What was that? So he gets, this is really interesting to me, having been in sports talk for like almost 30 years now. He gets two calls. It never works. Like, one call gets in and they're talking over each other. We have that. But then, like, that it's a dial tone and then, oh, the caller's not there. He doesn't know names. He did mention an area code at one point to identify, like, maybe the person on the other end of the line would know it was them because he mentioned their area code. Like, it's just sort of completely, you know, I don't want to be mean about it. I don't mean to be mean, but like sort of caveman level talk radio. We don't have a, you know, a screener or a producer. Maybe we do, but I don't know your name. Just go. And there's always like a pause. It's the worst, right? When you're listening and you hear this from a caller and a host, it's like the worst, right? Because they don't know when it's their turn to talk. And they're like, how's it going? Ah, like just sort of the nails on the chalkboard, especially if you're me, having been doing this for so long. Anyway, two callers get through. Two callers get through to Gino Cappelletti at halftime of this Patriots game in 1978. And here are the two questions. Which, this is not a judgment on the callers or the fans. I'm actually not doing that. This is not that. It's just interesting, like, what they called in to ask about. There might have been 50 other people, probably not, 50 other people waiting to go next. We don't know what they were going to ask about. We've got two that get through. The first caller is, actually, you know what? I'm going to go second. I'm going to go with the second one first, because the first one makes for an interesting point. The second guy through, after, like, somebody hangs up, and it doesn't work, and the guy's sort of like not sure what to do. The second caller's question is, when the Patriots make the Super Bowl, I'm a season ticket holder, can I buy tickets? Right? Like, so here's a guy, he's like, I'm not feeling well today, so I'm not at the stadium, I'm a season ticket holder. When, because he's like insistent that they will make it, by the way, you know, narrator, they don't. When they make the Super Bowl, can I, as a season ticket holder, buy tickets? And Cappelletti seems to know the answer to that question, which is interesting. Like, if you called, maybe he does. If you called Eric Wood at halftime on Sunday and asked him, like, can I, hey, just quick question, Eric, if can I buy, how many tickets do I get for the Super Bowl? He might not know. If you called me right now, I'd have no idea what the answer to that is. I feel like, call the Bills. This guy calls the broadcast and wants to know how many tickets he gets for the Super Bowl. And Cappelletti seems to know the answer. He says something, he answers the question. The first guy's question is, and they're talking over each other, the guy, like, you know, who's ever called a radio show by the year 1978? Like, how do you even do it? So the guy's question is, who calls the plays for the Patriots? Who calls the plays? And, like, what a great question. In a time when you did not have any access you could possibly have imagined to answers to questions like that, here's somebody that loves the team and has probably, I guess, no other way of finding out who calls the plays for my team. You know, you could, maybe it'd be in the paper, maybe it would come up at a press conference. Maybe it wouldn't, and there are two of those a week, and there's no mechanism for scrutinizing it, for discussing it. So different. The question is, who calls the plays? And I just loved it. And by the way, the announcer also knew the answer to that question. He gave him a, you know, a business answer, like the head coach gets you know, the feed from upstairs right beside me. I've got two guys with headsets, and they're calling down to the, and you know, the quarterback can change the play just like it is now. I think it's mostly just like it is now. But the guy, the caller didn't know. Like, fans might not have known answers to questions like that. Who calls the plays for my team? So here, back to the finally present day, 2025, we know everything, almost everything we could want to know. And we have each other every day to bounce off, you know, ideas about. And I think, you know, enough with the 1978 Patriots for now. I think we're at a point, and maybe we've been here, but it might have taken the Bills to lose a game where I feel like for the last couple of days, people's questions about them or concerns about them are now like okay to bring up because you might feel that you sound a little nuts if you're questioning how good Trey White is or how good the receiving core is when the Bills are undefeated. Like, not everybody, people are pretty self-aware, and they don't necessarily want to go into their office being the guy that's complaining about their undefeated NFL team. I mean, I could respect that. But they lost. So now maybe we can ask these questions. The last 2 days in here have absolutely been this. What about this? What about the secondary? What about the run defense? What about the receivers? Do they have enough? How do you feel? And maybe how is it different, if you want to call me and, you know, have thought about this, how is it different from last year or the year before that or any year in the last six, right? We're going to start at, you start at 2019, I guess. 19, I'm not going to 17. 19 is they're coming. I mean, they won a few games and made the playoffs and lost to Houston. And maybe this is going to be something. 20 is they're on their way to the AFC Championship. They're dominant. So 5+ years. I think for me, it's pretty similar to how it has been for the last couple of years, at least. Certainly last year. I think right now and last year are twins. They were 3-2 last year after 5 games, not 4-1. It was Baltimore and Houston, back-to-back road losses. But I think it's very similar to then. And I don't know what last year in the end does to make you feel better. Maybe nothing. Maybe worse. Because there was so much to like last year. Last year, the story of last year was the Chiefs' incredible run of close nonsense wins that kept the Bills at arm's length for the one seed the whole year. And the Bills go to week 18, their 17th game, at 13-3 without a chance at the one. And that was just, I mean, the luck. They even beat Kansas City and that still happened. So that was what last year was. But I feel like last year, and maybe you remember this better than I do, maybe we talked last year at this time when the Bills were 3-2 and Josh Allen had completed 9 passes in a loss to the Texans. Like, what are they at receiver? Who's Mac Hollins? Rookie Keon Coleman, second year Kincaid, not doing much. What's James Cook even at this point a year ago? Like, not that much. He goes on to have almost pretty much a record season. But I think I still would have said, most or felt, if I didn't say it, mostly how I feel right now about them, which is they'll probably win the division easily. This right now, because of New England's win, that's a little bit, I'm not going quite that far this year on the AFC East, but you know, they're in great shape. They're the heavy favorite to do it. Last year, maybe he was even a bigger favorite. I mean, May was a rookie. It was Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. Miami's Miami. Anyway, so you have that. That's the same. You had an offense that mostly could really score, but still had a lot of fans questioning just what, like how solid it was. I would say, like mid-season last year. That's where I think a lot of us were. And then I don't know if it's the secondary, but they'd lost Hyde and Poyer. That was new last year. And this year you have, I think real questions about what they are, you know, in the secondary. And this year so far, it's been more their run defense getting gashed and their pass defense being fine until this game against New England, which it kind of went the other way. So how good do you feel is all I've been really driving at for the last 15 minutes. How about that? You got to get to 4 hours, people. You got to get there. You can't just say, you can't just blurt out the question and sit there for the whole time. 803-0550 is the number. Let's go to Adam here. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think, you know, and rightfully so, Bobby Babbitt is getting a lot of, you know, slack for how the defense is performing. But I really feel like he's coaching and play calling with, like, one hand tied behind his back with all the injuries, the suspensions. And I don't really hear enough criticism of Joe Brady. And, you know, we've seen it with the Dolphins game and the Saints game. The offense just doesn't look right. It's very vanilla. And I hate when I constantly hear, you know, oh, we don't want to show things too early in the season, because anybody that's ever played football or coached football knows you spend the whole week game planning, and then two drives into the game, you know, you rip up your game plan and you have to adapt on the fly. So, you know, saying all that, you have the ultimate ace in the hole in Josh Allen. Why do we need to hold anything back on a week-to-week basis?
I'm not sure they do.
That's just the criticism that I hear.
Yeah.
When you see, like, you know, you even hear Collinsworth say it on the telecast, you know, when they're in shotgun, you know, most of the time they're going to pass it. When they're under center, most of the time they're going to run it. Like, why be so predictable?
Well, that's not the same thing, is it? I mean, that's not necessarily holding back whatever you were saying before. That being predictable is not just sort of not giving your best, right?
I have heard, like, you know, like the, like Brown and Tasker, like they say, like, you know, you don't want to show things too early in the season.
Yeah.
And that might be something that Brady is doing, I guess, is my point.
Well,
and I guess my point out of that is why.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to think about. I think there could be merit to, you're showing tendencies and you're almost always going to win. And even this game was a very winnable game. You're almost always going to win. There's a logical basis for showing certain tendencies that you might expect to break later on, and that could very much be to your advantage. Predictable isn't good, but that might be sort of the 3D chess kind of thing that New England, I think, you know, talking to Eric over the years, like that was a little bit their brand, you know, just we're so much better than you. However that is, we're so much better than you that we can afford that. And I don't think that's bad. I just don't know that it's true. You might be hearing criticism. I mean, who's making the point? Maybe they know, maybe they don't. I think the Bills have spoiled us so much that when they lose or when they only score 20 points in a game, that we're maybe confused by it. Like, how did that happen? And sometimes, you know, it's bounces. They had three turnovers in the game. There's how good the other team is. I mean, there could be different reasons for it. But I don't know that they hold things back. I don't think I would hate it if they did. But is it going to, like, Allen running left on sneaks? Are they just going to do it one way the whole year? Because that I think, is a problem. Let's go to Michael next. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just, you know, back to what you asked earlier, Patriots game reminded me of when they were going through the struggle with Dorsey, when nobody can get open down the field, they didn't have a deep threat, and Cook in the running game wasn't going, and it was all Josh. And I felt like that's what that felt like on Monday. But like you said, it's so few and far between these types of losses. But to add to the other, you know, the caller prior, I kind of agree. I think at times they are very predictable. They always play too deep shell. They don't seem to adapt when they're supposed to. Again, nitpicking, because they've been so good for so long. I just feel like it felt like Dorsey and they just couldn't get off, and Josh had to do everything, and he was pressing. And give New England credit. I mean, great against the run, probably one of the better teams in the conference, maybe even in the league. And at corner, they're good. They had Kincaid all night, and they stopped going to him for some reason. And in the second half, they come out guns blazing, sort of up-tempo offense, and they score. And then all of a sudden, it's back to let's try. So if you ask McDermott, I think he loves this type of football. And it's, you know, all three phases, as he likes to say. But when you don't have the run and Josh isn't getting off, that's what you're going to get.
You know, I thought in the beginning of the third quarter Sunday night, it's the touchdown, but I think it was also a couple of other plays, if I remember right. One thing they did there is throw the ball laterally, which is something, like, every game is different. This is something they were criticized for in the past, that there's nothing down the field. But the touchdown to Samuel is really, really smart. In motion, and Allen sort of gives him the sign back the other way, and it's kind of over before the snap. Nobody's out there with Samuel. So, I mean, that's Allen. That's got to be Brady, too. That's good stuff. And, you know, there should be those adjustments as you come out of the locker room. But in the end, they couldn't do enough right. So there goes that game. And it makes the season a lot different, doesn't it? Doesn't losing one game in the division at home to a team that you're not sure is bad change the attitude of the whole thing? Like, it does for me. I don't think New England is so good that they're going to, you know, just beat everybody the way the Bills do. And they have an easy schedule, and I still don't think that'll happen. But they should come out on the plus side, and they could make the division, you know, really where you have to work for it, which amazingly is a thing that has not been true every one of these years. Last year, the Bills clinched, I think, on December 1st. Here's Justin next. Hi, Justin.
Hey, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
Good. I just want to say, before I get into my topic, the first day I listened to you guys' show was the Cardale Jones, "We Came to Play Football" tweet. That was the first day I listened to the show. I've been a daily listener ever since.
All right.
Nonetheless, there's always talk about how we pick late in the draft. There's not as much talent late, or, you know, the cap. The Eagles have cap until 2030 that they're paying out. And everything, yep. Like, all these excuses. But it's like the Eagles also have two Super Bowl wins. No, Kansas City is picking late in the draft every year. They have Super Bowl wins. So, like, at what point is Bean going to, you know, muster it up and go to the top of the draft? I would have rather traded however many first-round picks it took in the future to have gotten Sauce Gardner over, you know, Kyer Elam. So it's like, we don't have many holes on the team, so why don't we just ante up and put all of our chips toward whatever hole that we do have, and then use those later picks to fill out some special teams players or whatever the case may be. But it's like, moving back, theoretically, you're just moving, you know, further down the board. The players get worse as the board continues to tick. So, you know, trading back to get Keon Coleman. I love Keon Coleman. I think he's a great guy, I think, you know, from what I know about him. But, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. Maybe you can shed more light on it.
I am, unfortunately for you, Justin, I am not your guy on this. I have to say, if you're listening all the time, I mean, this is something I want people to know about me, is like, I'm totally trade back guy, because you're making a very important false assumption that the guys drafted earlier are necessarily better. And, I mean, just look at any draft. You can pick out, it does happen, you can pick out Sauce Gardner, but you can also find years where whoever the top cornerback is isn't Sauce Gardner. And picking Trey White, how about that? Let's just do that easily. And what was Trey White in that draft? Was he not as good as anybody else at his position in that draft? He was. So, I want to be the captain of team. I don't know what's going to happen in the draft, and I'm going to give myself as many bullets as I can. Now, the results are not great, right? I mean, if you look at, we just wanted to focus on the Bills drafting. You can't say that it's really great. It's Josh Allen. I mean, Trey White is 8 years ago. There were good players that year, but where are the wins? You know, you have a couple of late round wins, and anybody who gives you anything from Saturday picks is probably necessarily a win. Benford is better than just anybody, but still, like, You'd want better than what's happened, I think, in the overall. Thanks, Justin. Quick break, and then we'll talk some more. 803-0550 today. Peyton Krebs of the Sabres, opening night tomorrow. Sal Capaccio, and on the Falcons, Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Fan in Atlanta. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is out today. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't a game that I expected the Bills receivers to do well, and it's like the first sign of, oh man, the receivers weren't super good. You know, we bring back this conversation where for 4 weeks I don't think we're having that chat. I think it's the context of the game and maybe some game plan stuff that I think the Bills could have done more to attack the Patriots where they were more vulnerable in the middle of the field.
Joe Marino, regular guest on the morning show today. If you missed it, want to hear more from Joe? G.I. Joe, Grand Island native, former resident at least, go to the Odyssey app and check it out. It was a big one from when I worked at the newspaper. Is he a native or is he a former resident? Was he born here or did he just live here? And actually with Joe, I'm not 100% sure as I think about him. Anyway, Bills and Falcons Monday night. The Bills and Falcons have they played any important games ever? The Falcons might be the least relevant team to Bills history than any other. Even Carolina, who the Bills play in 2 weeks or 2 weeks from Sunday, it has McDermott and Bean, like the Carolina connection there. But Atlanta, I mean, there are a couple games. I know this stuff. I mean, I can recount certain of those games, but not really anything that important. And I don't know if this one is, but I think it's interesting. Atlanta, which was on bye last week, is kind of, there's talent with the Falcons, both sides. Big talent. Look at Bijan Robinson. We'll see Michael Penix. What is Drake London? He's been great. The edge rushers they drafted this year, a big, and I don't think good trade, but they made a big move to draft two in the first round. So there's stuff with Atlanta. We'll talk about the Falcons in more detail in a couple of hours. Here's Eric next. Hi, Eric.
How you doing?
Good.
So, and I went to the game, so I was paying attention to the defense in the first half. I think they did a fantastic job. We held them to 3 points, and then another field goal, and then we fell apart in it. Second half of the game because the offense just would not give the defense a breather. I mean, the play calling was horrible, to say that at least. And other than that, the defense, they got shredded. I mean, Trey Wright got shredded in the second half. And, I mean, we know what he is. He's an older guy. He can't keep up for a whole game when he's on the field for the majority of the time.
What do you suggest they do about it?
Well, they got looking into it, maybe cutting his game time down so his legs stay fresh.
Well, I mean, their first-round pick was supposed to probably start over him and has been hurt since August. And the other guy for that, Strong, hurt his neck and went to IR immediately. So maybe easier said than done. Thanks, Eric. Let's go to Rob next. Hi, Rob. Rob, you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Mike? Good.
Hey, I wanted to piggyback off what you said before the break, which was, when can the draft picks ever just feel like a win? And if you recall, Brandon Bean got national attention for you know, getting into that dispute with the talk show hosts about why aren't we drafting more offense. And Brandon Bean's retort was, you know, oh, well, we got Josh Allen. Well, I have a retort back to that.
Not sure that's what he said.
Drafting a lot of defense for quite a while, it feels like, with the exception of Keon Coleman. And it doesn't feel like our defense has gotten ever gotten better. And then as soon as we get to the playoffs, it just gets aggressively exposed. I understand we're playing better teams in the playoffs, but it just still gets exposed. And when the regular season, we rely so much on turnovers. And if we don't get those turnovers, you know, and we lost the turnover battle on Sunday, and I was there as well. But it just seems like we're not getting those wins on defense. And I think at this point, we might as well just focus solely on, you know, a one-headed spear with Josh Allen and just try to punch the lights out and get as much offense draft picks as we can.
Yeah, you know, maybe that'll happen next year. And that's been the discourse about this for a long time, is the continuing efforts by the Bills to pour draft capital into really front seven. I mean, Hairston was picked, even Strong, but, you know, defense, just make it easier. And for me, this is, like I've said a lot, I think this is kind of like the last year where that's okay if they don't get what they need in the playoffs again, which is, you know, important stops. And this is combined with big free agent moves, Von Miller, Bosa, Hoyton Ogunjobi coming back. Like, it really does, under Sean McDermott, it really does need to be enough. And it's already been a questionable strategy, I agree, versus pouring money into speed and weapons. And it doesn't have to be everything. It just had to be more, I want to say. But this is absolutely a year where the Bills have doubled down on this by how they drafted and spent free agent money. And so it's that much more, I think, called for to analyze how it goes. Let's go to Joe next. Hi, Joe. Joe?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Good, fine, thanks.
Hey, thanks. Kind of piggybacking off the last guy, which you were talking about, it seems that they have come into the last two seasons, especially with the Diggs cut and whatever that does to the cap, they've made a very poignant decision to get who they have, like bringing Trey back. It's like when they brought back Poyer and things of that nature. It's kind of like, okay, we love them guys, and you're kind of retreading some old guys. You know, I'm feeling like they brought Trey back, not necessarily to start, and now that he's starting, they're going into these games understanding their weaknesses and the way that they're running their defensive scheme. It's bend but don't break on steroids now. And so I don't think that they're probably necessarily thinking they're going to be the best defense, but how can we play enough to give the offense the chance to outscore like they've been doing, you know, 30 to 35 points a game. And so I hope that when the new guy comes back, that the young man, him with Benford on the other side, will kind of, you know, shore up some things, and the two safeties are just, you know, take a full season to play together and get better.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about a lot of that. And I don't really want to blame the Bills for it, because they are down horses, if you will. And Hairston is a big one. I worry about what Hairston is a...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good enough bet. I mean, he was not really a reach or anything. It's a late first-round pick, so you're not getting, you think, like an all-time great necessarily. But again, like I mentioned before to someone else, Trey White worked out very well as this. So we'll see. But it's just been so long. Like, he's still not able to even have the practice window opened. So now I'm going to be to week eight. I mean, I guess I shouldn't. Should I rule out that he plays in this game? I feel like I want to. But if he doesn't, then it's week eight before there's any chance of it. And that's kind of like the halfway point of the season. And how much has he had in terms of reps? Wouldn't you need time to sort of get your body right after an injury like this? I just hope that it isn't a lost year. Because if it's a lost year for Hairston, it could be a lost year for them. I mean, yes, I don't think Trey White was brought in to start every week. What they do, and I think he is an example of this, is they bring in safe assets before the draft, around the draft, and have them in place so that if the draft doesn't fall a certain way, they're not, you know, standing there naked at the position. Like, you've seen them do that at running back, and here's a corner. Like, it makes sense. It seems like it's a good idea. But that isn't to say, like, this player should be a weekly starter. Like, we don't really want that. What they wanted was for Hairston to do that, and maybe he'll get there. I mean, someday he probably will. But, you know, fans too, and I don't think this is bad, it makes sense, have Elam, like, fresh in their minds. And maybe you're sort of like, it's easy to ignore, to forget about Hairston. We'll see what happens. I mean, it was a big loss to lose him like they did. And now they're five games in. This will be six. The bye week is next. And you're almost to November. You're almost to the halfway point of the season without really getting him to any point, getting him anywhere. So maybe a lot rides on him. Let's go to Josh next. Hi, Josh.
Hey, show up. Happy hump day.
Hello.
A couple of moves they didn't make, and one they did, I'm scratching my head.
Okay.
You know, I think that we've needed help at safety going back 2 years to having DeMar Hamlin on the team. You know, Jabril Peppers was out there basically for free. Would have been a very shrewd move that Bean didn't have to pay anything besides vet minimum. C.J. Gardner-Johnson was out there. I mean, those guys were good enough for both the Steelers and the Ravens to pick them up. And then we re-signed Baylen Specter. Like, it just that move particularly speaks to we're very just looking down the barrel and don't want to look across the league. Like, it's the old adage, you just have to know McDermott's defense and have played in it for 5 years to possibly step on the field for us. And those guys, you know, we're having issues at linebacker too. They're both drop-down safeties. They could help in the run game, help in the nickel. Taron Johnson hasn't been amazing. I just think they would have been amazing moves, and it more just speaks to, like, rigidity and not wanting to step out to make that move that we're going to need to get over the hump, especially on D. We need the help right now.
Yeah, you might be right. I think there's certain, of course, there's a certain allure to the name brands, you know, and you're naming guys that a lot of football fans can name that don't have to be really much of value anymore. Rasul Douglas gave the Bills half a season, and then last year, not as much, and he was a known commodity, and he did okay. They did make that move, and they got something out of it, but it was short-lived. And even Amari Cooper could be thought of this way. These are trade deadline moves, but that's the same thing, basically, like sign these guys along the way. You know, if you want to say that the points the caller made about the system and familiarity and that stuff, a lot of people say it, and I'm not going to argue with you. Like, I don't know that's wrong. But it's also not right to say they haven't done anything. Like, Mike Edwards was somebody that they brought in who had some pedigree, and he couldn't get on the field for them, which, you know, you could, I guess, maybe say the same thing there, but he hasn't been successful elsewhere. So, yeah, maybe the truth is in the middle here. Like, they could be more open to certain types when it comes to this. But I feel like the Bills have made quite an effort to beef up, to spend, defensively especially, to get to the top. And they could still do it. It's interesting. Like, I sort of soft-pedaled into this very broad discussion about how we feel about them. And man, a lot of you are ready to go on this or that, you know, on the roster that you don't like. And I think, you know, mostly, not that these aren't good points, because they are, I think, but I think we're very on edge about this. And I also think that that's pretty normal, especially for a community that has just, like, we've never made it all the way. And everybody knows how good Allen is. He's in every third commercial. He's won the MVP now. You know, he's super famous and great. And it just feels like, it would feel like more of a wasted experience if they can't win it with him. But, you know, maybe they will. I'm certainly on board with the idea, not just wanting it, but believing it could happen. I mean, they're still right among the top favorites, as I'm sure you know. Peyton Krebs of the Sabres coming up in less than 20 minutes. Sal Capaccio later. Bulldog is off today. This is Mike Shope on W.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.